Today, we have J, which kind of represents, in the ABCs of horror, a bloody hook from an urban legend near you.
Hello, welcome to Talking Stars. I am your host, Darren from Movie Reviews 101 and the wonderful world of YouTube. And joining me, as always, is my co-host, Mr. Damien Riley.
Hi there, it's me, Damien Riley from Riley on Film and the Damien Riley Podcast. I'm a co-host here with Darren. You can listen to us on Podomatic at talkingstarspodcast.podomatic.com, on iTunes, and most other places you find podcasts. Oh, and be sure to follow us on Twitter. Our handle there is TalkingStarsBit. I hope you enjoy the show. All right, I'm so happy today to have the Vern as my guest. We're going to be talking about the ABCs of horror. Hi, Vern.
Hello, Damien. Hello, everybody out there in podcast land. How's everybody doing tonight? Or the day, or yeah. Whenever you listen to this podcast. It could be middle of the night, and you're hearing our voices, and I thank you very much for listening.
Now, here's a short ad for Vern's site. Cinema Recall.
Hello everybody, my name is The Vern, and I am the host of the Cinema Recall podcast, which you can find at thatmomentin.com. On each episode, myself, along with a great guest, we will discuss in detail an iconic scene from a classic movie. So come check us out. We are available on Podomatic, on Stitcher, and most other places you can find podcasts. We are also on Facebook, just type in Cinema Recall, and we are also on Twitter at @cinema_recall. We hope you enjoy the show, and thank you for listening.
But I found that people, no matter where they live on the planet, there's people that just really love their horror. Are you a horror fan, Vern?
I am. I'm not like one of these like diehard horror fans that just only watches horror and that's all they watch is just horror. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I do like watching scary movies, and it doesn't have to be at Halloween time. I'll watch scary movies at any time of the day, the year, and whatnot there. So, and excuse me.
No problem. Yeah, that's good. Good to hear it, man. I'm glad we got a fellow horror guy here. I just saw Insidious yesterday. Oh. I watched Creature from the Black Lagoon. So
that's good.
Isn't it though? So I've been getting a lot of good stuff. So what we do here on this show, it's kind of a series that we came up with, and we're just going through the ABCs of horror. We are following a show that Darren and I just did last week, should have aired, and it was on I. And so we did Insidious. We did a lot of I titles.
Insidious is one of the funniest movies I've ever seen in the world.
Now, I'm talking about four, or actually the prequel to all of them, so technically one, but the one that came out in 2018 is the one I'm talking about.
Oh, okay. Is that a tea party?
It's a skeleton key. The final key. Yeah, I think it's called final key.
So it's not a bunch of people going to a house and they throw their keys in, and couples have to bring keys out. And
No.
It's like a swingers party, right?
I don't know which one that is, but that's not the one I just saw.
Oh, sorry.
It was like a demon that has a key for a finger.
it's a special demon key party.
There you go.
Those kinky demon key parties.
But anyway, I'll go ahead and start it off. The first one that I picked... And what we usually do, as you know out there, is we look for a title that has a J. Sometimes we can find that, sometimes we can't. So then we look for directors, we look for genres, we look for actors. And so I went ahead and went with this film that I had just recently seen, Creature from the Black Lagoon. And the reason I picked it, I'll tell you why, Jack Arnold is the director. And if you bring, I don't know if you've heard of him. Have you heard of him?
I've seen the movie The Creature from the Black Lagoon, but I don't really know too much about Mr. Jack Arnold.
Well, I'll tell you what, I can't even I can't even tell you how many titles that he did, old black and white monster movies in the 50s. I mean, if you click on his name, it just goes right down the page on Internet Movie Database. But I'm just here to talk to you about Creature from the Black Lagoon. This movie was amazing. I really enjoyed it. I didn't know if I would like it or not. A lot of my friends I've posted on Facebook and such since I saw it, and they're like, what? You're a movie guy and you hadn't seen this till you're 48 years old? Yeah, it's weird. I just had never had. And I've seen Frankenstein, I've seen Dracula, I've seen Bride of Frankenstein, I've seen so many of the old Nosferatu and Freaks and all that old stuff, but I had never seen this, and I really liked it. It reminded me of like a Twilight Zone. It was a black and white, and have you seen this film?
I have. It's been a while since I last saw it, and like you, I did not see this movie until recently, and it was a movie that completely got off my radar, but it focuses on this group, and they're doing like this expedition on the sea, and they find out about this creature who is about half man, half mermaid. In fact, this is a good movie to go with The Shape of Water, the new Guillermo del Toro movie that just got released in theaters. This would be a good kind of double feature because the creature and the creature from the Black Lagoon definitely inspires the creature from The Shape of Water.
There you go.
And the creature's not a bad person. I mean, he's a guy that's just swimming around the lake.
Yeah. He's trying to survive. Trying
to survive right there. You know, he meets this cute little hot blonde girl there. He's like, hey, I might try a shot with that. Why not? And he tries his best to become friends with her. And of course, she's freaked out at first, as all women are in the 50s. And then she warms up to him. And of course, you always got to have the bad guy scientist that wants to capture him or do harm. But I thought it. And the cool thing is that even the guy, the sort of like male lead in this movie, he's not like your typical sort of asshole you would see in these 50s movies.
No, I think at one point the expedition leader holds the ruffian with the rifle. He says, no, don't kill it. You know, we're going to take it back and study it.
Mm-hmm.
So I really liked it. I thought it was really entertaining. And one thing I did get out of it too, I was reminding me of King Kong, the way he was sort of attracted to the woman. You know, it's not even like he was attracted to her sexually. He's just, you know, he didn't hurt her. When he had the opportunity to, like, you know, swipe that big claw, he didn't do it. He just kind of stared at her. And so that was an interesting parallel, I thought, to King Kong.
Very much so. And I liked it, too, Julie Adams is the actress in that movie, too.
Very beautiful, yes.
Very, yeah, but so Richard Carlson, he plays as the Edgar guy, David Reed. You know, most people will probably see this movie, they're like, oh, it's 50s, it's very schlocky, B-movie type, but not when you actually do sit down and watch the movie and watch the storyline, there's nothing B-rated about it. All the actors in this are really good.
Yeah.
And it does tell a very good, compelling storyline. And it shows that movies don't have to have, like, big, lavish special effects to be a good story. And I think The Creature from the Black Lagoon tells a really good story.
Yeah, there's so many scenes that you just will watch. And just exactly what you just said, just having him captured and floating underwater, them thinking he's dead or whatever, and just to see him there knowing at some point he could just come out of the water. I mean, that's tension, you know? Excuse me. Well, there you go. So there's my Creature from Black Lagoon. It was Jack Arnold. There's that J. So do you want to give us your first J?
You know what? Why the hell not? Since you did one director's name, I'm going to add on a director's name too. And this director has begun a lot of press during award season. His feature was nominated for Best Musical or Comedy. Even though it is not a musical or comedy, I'm talking about, of course, Jordan Peele and Get Out.
Okay, great idea.
This is his debut feature. He's known as mainly one of the co-stars of Keaton Peele, the sketch comedy show on Comedy Central. And when we found out that he was going to be directed in his first feature, we're like, all right, sweet, this is going to be a comedy. The guy who made who starred in Keanu is going to be making a feature film. We're like, all right, sweet.
Yeah.
Then we found out it was a horror film. And then, all right, that's cool. But if you've never seen Get Out, it's about this interracial couple who go to visit the girl's parents. And it all starts off very kind of nice and kind of nice home and everything like that, too. But the man starts finding secrets out about the family in the house. And that's all I'm going to say. Yes, I know it's an older movie. I know everyone has probably seen it. But there may be people out there that have never heard of this movie before. And I never do spoilers for movies, no matter how old it is, all right? Mm-hmm. But I think this is a very well-done suspense. It's not so much gory, even though it does have some gore moments in there. This is strictly a suspense thriller.
Yes.
It's like an extended version of The Twilight Zone. Like, Twilight Zone, the movie that got expanded into, like, 90 minutes. It's like that episode of Twilight Zone, expanded out to 90 minutes.
Yeah.
I think it's a brilliant feature film debut. I think all the cast in there are really wonderful. Jordan Peele definitely knows how to take his time in establishing, what I'm looking for here. Jordan Peele takes his time in, like, establishing a mood.
Yeah.
For this feature. He takes his time to build up characters, and he does a great job of making you think one thing and then kind of twist it around to something else. It's paced perfectly as a horror film should be paced. The reveal of what is going on with this house is not explained right away. It's a good little mystery. There was a problem I had when I first watched the movie, and in the beginning scene, when you see a guy walking down the street,
mm-hmm.
and he gets kidnapped right away. I was thinking, well, that's kind of a dumb way to begin a movie, because all the horror movies have to begin was something horrific happening right away. And I thought it was just some, like, random guy that got grabbed. But mm-hmm. after I watched it the second time, the guy who got grabbed in the beginning, he does show up in the middle. I'm like, oh, okay, now it makes more sense now why they shot that way. So, yeah, everything in this movie is perfectly shot and directed. I think Jordan Peele did an amazing job, and it's very rare for a horror movie to get awards, to get award love. Most horror movies don't. I think the only movie that got horror award love is The Babadook. That's the only movie I can think of recently that got some award love. So that's my J right there, Jordan Peele and Get Out.
Yeah, that's so great.
Have you seen this one?
Oh, yeah, it's so great. I think he uses horror as his vehicle for communication, and then he's definitely making social commentary about veiled racism, not necessarily outright racism, but the kind that happens when somebody says, oh, well, you know, your kind are all so athletic, you know, like,
yes.
Things like that. and I think he throws in a lot of that. But yeah, I don't want to give spoilers either. This is a great film. You don't really want to know what's happening at the house till it's opportune time, which is about 2/3 of the way through, maybe 4/5. I didn't figure it out till, you know, toward the end. But it could have flopped, you know. I mean, it was a big undertaking to make a horror movie and a social consciousness movie. Usually those don't really go hand in hand. I noticed some of the old black and white horrors and such, there's a lot of a theme. I watched Carnival of Souls the other day, and there was a theme kind of like against the fundamentalist religion of the day. There was a little bit of a theme of that, and it was kind of like the zombies were more free than the fundamentalist religion. So that, you know, I hadn't really seen that kind of a statement in modern cinema, and I see that a little bit more in like the 50s and 60s films, the horror films. It reminds me of that, because he's using this horrible scenario or plot situation to kind of, I think, show what it's like to be a black person, really, at this day and age. And that's kind of how I received it, so I really liked it.
Yeah, I very much too. Yes.
Awesome. Well, my next one is we're going to go for a character here. We're kind of steering clear of titles. I'm sure we'll get to some. I know one that I'm hoping you picked that surprised you haven't picked it yet, but we'll see if you pick it. If you don't, I may put it upon you, because I know I've read something of yours about it recently. But anyhow, talking about Jay, this is Jason Voorhees of Friday the 13th. Yeah, right. That's right. Now, who would think a guy in a hockey, mask would have caused? I don't know. What have there been 13
people
sequels
from Canada? All right.
Yeah.
Sorry, your listeners from Canada. I'm just making jokes here. I apologize.
Yeah, the people. And sorry to people who go, into a cabin and have sex, because you're going to have to be killed. It seems like whatever somebody...
under the age of 25. Although the actors in that movie could be 35 to playing 18-year-olds. So
That's definitely right.
Either way.
Yeah, it's one of those, you take the movie Scream and you look at, if you know Scream, we're not talking about Scream necessarily, but it's one of those movies where you have the intellectual analysis of a horror movie, and pretty much everything that they analyze about horror movies you can find with Jason Voorhees in Friday the 13th. He will let certain people go, he won't bother with certain people, but yet he'll go toward, the topless female screaming, of course, he's going to go for her, and, things of that nature, so... It's a silly movie. I don't think it's a great movie, but it sure started a firestorm, with regards to popcorn horror. I don't know what you'd even call. What would you call Friday the 13th?
Popcorn horror is not a bad word for it. It's I don't know. I'm sure maybe when they came out, the first one's supposed to be scary, which I have not seen the first one. Mm. Of all the Friday the 13th movies, I've seen maybe part four. Mm-hmm. And part five, the most. Okay. I've seen Jason Goes to Hell. Jason Goes to Hell is kind of a fascinating concept where Jason dies, but his spirit remains, and so his spirit can possess other people.
Hmm.
And so now they become crazy psychopathic people. I found that to be fascinating. I've seen Jason X, because, come on, it's Jason in space.
Yeah.
And that shit's so insane that I can't help but just kind of check about how crazy it is. But in all Jason movies, a bunch of kids go to a cabin, and all the kids that come to a cabin are your basic stereotype. Mm-hmm. So you got the really dumb jock, the ditzy blonde, the virginal teen, the geeky boy that tells you about the origin. He's the exposition guy. Then you got your token black guy in there too. He's the first one to usually always get killed off, because he's got to go and grab some beer. It's everything that movies like Scream made fun of before.
The Final Girls.
Final Girls. Yeah, exactly. Final Girls. Yeah, this is the movie that they're making fun of. All right, I don't know. I mean, I'd be curious about how people who are aware of those tropes in those movies, how will they watch this? Will they watch it as mainly a dumb comedy, or will they be scared by them? Because at the time when these movies came out, no one was really making movies like this, so it wasn't seen as a comedy. These were scary things about this big guy in a hockey mask that will just chop people up for no apparent reason. But not for no apparent reason. He's the son, or he's this kid who drowned at a lake, and he's now taking revenge on everyone that comes to the camp. And I never understood why the camp has not been shut down, but each year it keeps going back for business.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah. For some reason, I guess tourism goes well. And but then again, I guess they're taking care of their dumb teen problems, so.
There you go.
Maybe that's what parents are doing. Parents are like, oh gosh, I got such a dumb kid. My kid's a dumb slut girl and stupid guy right there.
Let's drink beer and smoke pot and have sex. Let's take him up there.
sit up at the camp right there. There's no help for my kids anymore. Let's have them go to camp. They're probably talking to Jason like, Jason, my kids come up to camp the week of August 13th, 14th. Are you going to be in the area? Jason's like, I'm kind of busy. I was trying to shoot pool with Freddie and me and Michael Myers and Leatherface. We got a poker tournament coming up here. I don't know. It's maybe that's why Jason doesn't talk much. I'm figuring that Jason doesn't talk much because he actually does have a really good singing voice.
And you've heard him sing, huh?
He's saving that voice is what he's doing now. He's trying to save that voice.
I see. So. All right. Yes. Well, if you don't mind, I was going to kind of push one on you and see what you thought of it. I should have asked before we started, but...
Oh, go ahead.
Did you do something on Jaws recently?
Yeah, that was going to be one of my titles.
All right. I just want to check. You don't have to do it now if you don't want to.
Okay. No. You brought it up now.
It's your turn. Okay, you go ahead then.
All right. Now that you brought it up there, yes, my next letter is going to be J for Jaws. I know a lot of people out there are going, Jaws, that's not a horror film. It's a little adventure movie right there. And I'm like, no. Fuck that. It's about a man-eating shark, and I don't care how fake that shark is, that shark was actually there, and if something would have went wrong, that mechanical shark would have eaten people, all right? And yeah. I'm sorry, see that shark pop up out of the water right there, that shit still scares me to death, all right? And
that's right.
It's a great movie, and on a earlier podcast I did for Cinema Recall, I talked about my five most terrifying films of all time, and I put Jaws on there, and I'll just tell listeners the really short story, but when I was at Universal Studios theme park, I went to the Jaws ride. I had been about 6 or 7 years old. Jaws came out of the water at me, and it freaked me so much. I could not go anywhere near Jaws at the video store for several years.
Wow.
And my dad had actually sit me down, and he put that whole Clockwork Orange thing on my head with my eyelids taped open, so I couldn't move at all.
Oh.
I tried to move my eyes about, but they would not get out of the line of fire of this picture.
Oh my gosh.
I had to watch Jaws all the way through, and I enjoyed the movie, but I was still terrified. And I dreamt that night. One thing I didn't say on the podcast, but I'll say it here now. Mm-hmm. That night, I dreamt that my good friends were dangling me over the orca boat.
Oh, yeah.
Yelling, here, girl, come on, sharky. And the Jaws pisses it up, and he's, like, yapping like a little dog, like, very happy that they're going to get morsels. And then my friend dropped me into the Jaws' mouth, and that was the end of my dream.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I don't think I need to say anything about Jaws because this is a movie that people have seen already before.
Probably so, but you never know. At one point I was doing a podcast, and I forget who it was. I don't want to embarrass anybody needlessly, but if I could remember exactly who it was, I would say. But it's somebody that's been on the Talkie Stars, and he said that he'd never seen Alien.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and he was like in his early 20s. So, you know, I find that it's good to talk about it. Just share it, and, you know, maybe somebody hasn't seen Jaws because they've got so many other things to watch, they never got down to it. But my thing with Jaws is that, I don't know, it's kind of like going into like a buccaneer type restaurant where they give you a pirate hat to put on, and you know, you sit down and there's this menu and it says, "Aye, matey, what do you want to eat?" You know, and you get your clam chowder, and you can see, you know, outside there's the fishermen, and it's in a similar way to The Godfather. Like, you really should have spaghetti and meatballs when you watch The Godfather.
Okay.
Like, with this one, you know, you really should have fish and chips and at least have the sound of seagulls or something. It's so rich. And I don't think I can really see it too much because, I mean, obviously, you know, maybe you see it two times, you're like, okay, I'll take a break from that. But I'll always go back to it because it's made so well that it brings you into that zone, you know what I'm saying? And yeah, the shark is scary, but, you know, as a grown-up, you know, we kind of grow up here, Vern.
All right. I still flinch a little bit. Like, it's a movie that I own, and I'll watch here and there.
Yeah.
But if I see that movie on TV, and I'm scrolling through my digital channels, when I see that movie on my TV, I always kind of turn my eyes away because I'm afraid when I click on the movie, I'll see the shark right away. And the shark always makes me jump a little bit. I don't know. It's always going to make me – it's what do you call it? Something in your head right there. But I'm always going to have that reaction whenever I see that shark. It's always going to make me...
When he takes in the old sea dog, I mean, he's chomping on him. That must be an enjoyable moment for you.
Well, any of the Jaws movies, too. Every time I see that shark there, it's always going to make my heart skip a little beat right there.
I love it. But it's
a movie that you should definitely see. It's a good action adventure. Like I said before, people who have never seen Jaws, it's about a man-eating shark and a group of men who go out to stop it.
Yeah,
and
that's pretty much. Richard Dreyfuss.
Rich Rider.
Yeah.
Robert Shaw. Yeah. It's one of Steven Spielberg's first movies.
That he really took a chance on. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a movie that definitely started the whole blockbuster boom. So it's a movie that everyone should watch.
Yeah, definitely so. Okay, well, moving right along here. We're doing pretty good. I wanted to talk just real quick about Jigsaw, which is the new Saw, the newest Saw sequel. And
Jigsaw.
Have you
seen
it?
Nobody's doing a jig in this one. No one does a jig? I thought we should be doing a new dancer, Damien. Do the jig. The Jigsaw.
It's kind of hard with high-powered machinery, you know, removing your lower extremities. But no, Jigsaw, interesting. Bodies are turning up all around the city. They each have met a uniquely gruesome demise, just typical Saw, you know. As the investigation proceeds, evidence points to one suspect, John Kramer, the man known as Jigsaw, who's been dead for 10 years. And that's what draws you to the movie. It's what brings you in. And from there, you see a lot of things. And it's, you know, it gives you your signature Saw stuff. It wasn't my favorite. Go ahead.
The Rube Goldberg machines, that type of... That's why I know most about the Saw movies, all those Rube Goldberg devices.
Yeah. Tell me about one.
Well, you know, all the devices that he puts together, that one thing connects to another, and then death happened. All these contraptions. That guy must have gotten an A in middle shop.
That's true. And then with that little... He's an artist, too. He's got that little doll with the eyes that rides the tricycle.
Yeah, I always thought that guy would have wised up and say, you know, I don't want to do this anymore, and host his own variety show or something. I always picked that guy. Yeah.
Remember Pee Wee Herman at the beginning? He had all those contraptions that would make his make his pancake and eggs. Yeah, the Jigsaw probably had something like that in his apartment.
Guys, Jigsaw probably watched too many Pee Wee Herman. Thank you, Pee Wee Herman.
Yes.
For giving us Jigsaw.
Yeah. Uh-huh, jeez. Right. Maybe it's Paul Rubens is in there with under the makeup.
Oh, my God. Well, that'd be great. Yeah. Hi, kid.
He's finally revealed it is Paul Rubens.
It'd be better if it was just Pee Wee Herman under there.
Yes. All right. Well, anyhow, there's my J for Jigsaw. You know, sometimes this is hard going, looking for these J's. Did you have another one for us?
I do. I'm going to go back to filmmakers, if you don't mind. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to do filmmaker Julia Ducournau. Do you know that name? Julia Ducournau.
I think I've read it. I've never pronounced it. So keep going. Maybe I'll recognize. Okay.
Well, Julia Ducournau, and I'm probably messing that name up, and I apologize, but she is the writer and director of the movie called Raw.
Oh, yeah.
And
French film, I think.
Yep, French horror film about a young woman named Justine, played wonderfully by Garancy Moreller.
Again, she does a great job. Yeah,
I'm gonna fuck up these French names, and I apologize. But she's a woman who was raised as a vegetarian her whole life, and she's beginning school at this very way out there veterinarian school.
Mm-hmm.
And during the first night of hazing, she is forced to eat a rabbit kidney. And this is a girl that's been raised on not eating meat her whole life. But for this one night, she's forced to eat a rabbit liver or kidney. Hmm. And after doing so, that one bite of meat starts her on this journey. And it's a story about her discovering her sexuality. And she discovers not only a love of other meats, I mean, she eats, raw, I guess, chicken and meat from other animals, but she also starts to develop a taste of human flesh.
Yes, she does.
And that's all I'm going to say about this, but this movie is very beautifully shot. I think the acting from everyone is just amazing, and it is a coming-of-age storyline that infuses cannibalism, and it all goes together very well. Yes, there are some gory moments in this. I know when this premiered at Sundance or at some film festival, people were said to have fainted. So when I watched this movie, I was expecting something really gory and horrific, and it's not that type of movie. It's not super gory, although there are some sequences that definitely made me squirm, especially the Brazilian wax sequence that made me squirm a lot.
Yeah.
The makeup job in this movie is incredible. She starts to develop this rash on her skin after the first night of eating meat, and she's like scraping away at it. And it isn't so much the image of the skin that made me squirm, it's the sound design. I mean, this movie has really good sound design. And it's streaming right now on Netflix, so I definitely recommend checking it out. Even if you're not a fan of subtitle movies, I think this movie, you'll get past it with this one too. So I really recommend Raw from Julia DeCorna. And I'm curious to see what else she made. This is her feature film debut. This is the first thing she ever made, and she kind of knocked it off the park. And I'm very curious to see what else she comes up with. The really cool thing is, too, is that when I watch interviews with her, she speaks English fluently, like really good. Like most foreign directors, when you hear them talk, it's a very thick foreign accent. Yeah. And with Julia, her English is so good, you hear a little bit of a French accent, but it's like she's been speaking English the whole time right there. So I know her next feature, when I saw interviews, is going to be another French feature, which is fine. But I'm really hoping that she'll do one feature in English and freak out American audiences.
Yeah, if she did Raw the way that the Austrian Funny Games director did, and just did Raw scene for scene in English, I'll bet it'd be a big seller.
That could be Raw in English. Yeah, okay.
That is because of my own feelings about subtitles. We're all so busy. I'm not just gonna say I'm busy. But like, I want to listen to more podcasts. I want to watch more movies. So when I have a subtitle film, I have to shut everything down, focus right on that. You know, I can't multitask or anything like that. So I think a lot of people are like that, and I wouldn't recommend Raw to like a lot of people on my Facebook, because they're the people I know in real life. Yeah, you know, just close to me and stuff in this town, because they're not probably not going to sit there and have the patience with the subtitle.
My parents are the same way too, because I kind of did, but I don't get the whole having multitasking.
Oh, you don't get that, huh?
I don't get that, because I know when I'm watching a movie, I'm there to watch. I get irritated when my roommates will be watching a movie with me, and they'll be on their phones, and they'll look up like, "Oh, what did I just miss?" I'm like, "No, I'm not telling you. You're on your phone. No, sorry. Don't just tell me what happened here. Like, no, we're put on a movie here. You're on your phone. No, we're here to watch a movie."
That is why you are our example, the Vern. We aspire to shut everything out and watch that movie.
When you watch a movie in theaters, you don't go on your phone, right? There's the same thing.
I prefer theaters because there's less, you know, distractions. There's no phone.
See, I saw Raw in theaters, though. That's when I first saw it. But now it is streaming, so people do have a chance to check it out. But yes, if you're one of those people that has to have a phone on them or watch the movie kind of casually, then this may not be the movie for you, and that's okay. That's all right. No worries about that.
Because you might miss subtle things, because they're in the story of it. I actually saw it on TV on subtitles, but when I set out to watch subtitles, I put everything away. I turn off the laptop. I just watch. But, because you just can't. I mean, if you miss something, you might not get anything else. But, you know, there's something with her sister, there's something with her family, there's something at the beginning, there's some symbols in it, there's some, there's the hazing ritual that's going on, and if you don't read the subtitle, like, you know, there's no way you're going to be able to put that all together.
I think that maybe you could just do images alone. You could probably maybe follow the storyline. Yeah, then you can understand who's a sister. You can understand who's, like, either the two girls are either friends or sisters. But you know, like, in that first party sequence, you realize that these two girls are friends. So, and then after there's a sequence involving a dog. And you kind of figure out that the girl's parents from the start of the movie show up, and so now you realize that they're siblings, and the movie does have one of the greatest endings I've seen in horror films.
Is it the one where they repeat the intro sequence? I forget. You have to remind me.
This would be kind of a spoiler here too, if you don't mind me giving spoilers.
Well, if you guys don't want to hear the spoiler, fast forward one minute. Fair enough. Okay, go ahead.
But at the end of the movie, let's see now, the sister has been arrested for eating the leg of Justine's boyfriend. And then Justine and her dad are talking, and then her dad lifts up his shirt and shows that he has bite marks all over him, which shows that it's the mother. The mother has had this cannibalism trait passed down to her siblings, and that's why Justine was raised as a vegetarian, so that she would not be exposed to the stuff. But it was something that was bound to happen because she went to the same college as her mother did, so it's definitely like a rite of passage type of thing. So who knows, will Justine bring these traits on to her children? Will she continue to follow in the footsteps of her mother and her sister? It ends on a very ambiguous note there, but...
Yeah. That's awesome. I mean, Raw took the world by storm. It did very well the year it came out. I think it was, 2014 or 15?
It was 2016.
Oh, okay, so it's more recent than I even thought. Mm-hmm. Well, okay, let's just move on to the next one. I'm hoping you've seen this one, The Grudge.
I have seen...
Okay, no worries, I'll just talk about it then. It's a... Any comments you have are always appreciated, but no worries. This is kind of like, you know, back and forth, like a tennis match. This one's actually called Ju-on in its in its original language.
I love Ju-on so much.
Okay, so you have seen Ju-on. Okay, but it means The Grudge, where they translated it somehow to be The Grudge when they made the American version. It's a mysterious and vengeful spirit that marks and pursues anybody who dares enter its house. And it's pretty powerful. And at the beginning, they have a lot of text that explains about this spirit called Ju-on that is, I guess, you know, we in America, we don't have a whole lot of, like, mythology. We don't, you know, we're just pretty young as a country, so we don't carry mythology. But you go to, like, you know, other lands, China and Japan and such, and they have these, like, thousand-year, you know, mythologies that they've hung on to, and I guess this is one of those. And so it's a creepy movie.
You said you saw it. I prefer the original version, Ju-on, over The Grudge. I think just the way the cinematography is, it feels just a lot more gringier.
Yeah, it starts out in like a social worker office. Scarier. Yeah, it starts out in like a normal social worker's office, so you think, oh, okay, police station, social worker's office, I've been here before, I get this. And
Even those have like a weird latent to them that don't make it feel right, and then you got the images of the house. It's been several years since I've seen this movie, but I was really just taken into this world, and so much so that even when I saw the American version of The Grudge, even though they're directed by the same person, there's something about when Americans make adaptations of Japanese horror film, there's something about the lighting of it that doesn't seem to make sense. Like, it's too bright. It feels too colorful. And when you watch the Ju-on
something version, gets lost in the translation, so to speak. Not just in the words, but in maybe in the culture.
But not the culture with it. I'm talking about just the look. Mm-hmm. The way the movie actually looks. When you see the Ju-on, it's kind of like the colors are a little bit more muted.
Yeah. Well, I know you can get Ju-on, like, if anybody interested hadn't seen Ju-on, you can actually, you know, if you have access to Amazon Prime or Amazon, you can rent it for $1.99. I did notice that as I was looking at it. So if you're interested, and, you know, so if it's there, it's probably other places too. And if you've seen just the regular Grudge, I think it's Sarah Michelle Gellar who's in that, and it's just, it's so sellout, it's kind of hard to be scared by it. Maybe it was because I saw it after I had seen Ju-on, but Ju-on is a very creepy movie. Yeah, so it starts with a J, too. So there we go. All right, now I am going to hand it back over to you, and then I'm going to talk a little bit about a director. But you go ahead. What do you have next? Vern? Vern, are you there? Hello. Can you hear me? This is no big deal. We can fix this, but trying to figure out what's going on. Hello, you there?
Damien.
Yeah.
Hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, I don't know what happened there, buddy, but I just unplugged my mic and plugged it back in. Okay, I apologize.
Oh, no problem at all. I'm just glad I didn't lose you.
Oh, no, I'm here.
I can splice that out. It's no big deal at all.
Okay, cool. Okay, all right.
Yeah. go ahead.
Moving on to my next choice here, since you were talking about...
Yes, yes.
let me do that again here. Hold on.
No problem.
So, I guess moving on to my next pick of Jay, since you just talked about Ju-on, brings me up to Japanese horror films.
Okay.
All right.
I was hoping you might do that. Yeah, I didn't get those together, but I'm glad you did.
We mentioned Ju-on, Bogdan mentioned Ring Yu, and A Tale of Two Sisters, and Dark Water. I think I'm going to focus a little bit more on Dark Water, because it's a movie that I recently saw. Now, Dark Water was turned into an American remake with Jennifer Connelly and John C. Reilly, but I'm going to talk about the original Dark Water, which recently came on to Amazon Home Video. Mm-hmm. And Dark Water is about a mother and daughter who move into an apartment building. The mother is getting a divorce from her husband. Mm-hmm. And so her and her daughter have to live in these, like, really cheap, run-down apartments. And during their stay there, they notice this, like, stain on their ceiling. And the mother doesn't think anything of it at first. She thinks that there's some sort of, like, water damage that happened before. But as she goes to investigate things a little bit more, she notices that it's sort of like an entryway for, like, the spirits to come through. And I really, really, really enjoy this film because it is a ghost story, but the Japanese version, they don't see ghosts as being anything really terrifying. So the ghost in the Japanese version, it's scary, but not, like, horrific scary. It's more like mystery, like suspense. Like a mystery ghost. Like, not a ghost you're afraid about, but something you want to find more about. This is not a ghost you run away from. This is a ghost that you want to investigate a little bit more. And it is directed by the guy who did direct the original Ring Yu, Hideo Nakata. And it's based on the book of the same writer who wrote The Ring.
Getting back to Dark Water really quick, because I'm interested in Jennifer Connelly and John C. Reilly. I really like both those actors. Would you say that that's just a wash, or is that actually a pretty good retelling American version?
I don't think the American version is bad per se. I think those people do a good job. It'd be kind of funny to watch, like, both versions of this and see the differences between them, because there are differences in both of these movies. I don't think the remake is all that bad, but the remake definitely goes more for, like, a horror side of it, while the original, it's more of a mystery.
Okay.
You kind of want to know more about who this ghost is and who she is, and the remake does have that mystery element to it, but they're definitely going for more scares.
Okay. All right.
And the Japanese version.
Well, excellent. Anything else you want to touch on from the Japanese?
The Japanese, Dark Water, I see it now. Well, the movie's from Takashi Miike, who did Audition. I think Audition is just a complete, wonderful mind fuck of a movie. It's a movie that... how do I say this now? It's a movie that I bought just from the quotes at the front cover. And the first thought was, there's a quote from a critic. I wish I remember who the critic was.
I have that movie on my watch list, so now you're making me eager to watch it tomorrow. Or maybe tonight.
On the box of it, there's a critic that says... A critic says this on the box, and they say, what it must have been like to see the shower sequence in Psycho back in this... Because Psycho shocked people and took the world by storm.
Yeah.
And so I'm thinking, oh, there must be a moment in this that really kind of shocks you and completely surprises you. And, oh, yes, there are several Psycho shower moments.
Oh, that's great. I'm definitely going to put it at the top of my list.
In this movie. And the only thing I'll tell you about the movie is about this guy whose wife has died, and he's a single father, and he wants to find, you know, a new love in his life. So he has his friend, who is this movie producer, hold a fake audition to find a new love interest for him. Mm-hmm. And he takes an interest in this one girl, all right? And he's very interested in her, and that's all I'm going to say.
Okay. Yeah, I'm already sold, so sounds good. You have me sold at Psycho.
Okay, all right, good.
Yeah, I'm going to check it out for sure. Okay, well, great. Yeah, there are so many Japanese films that are really worth watching. Korean as well. There's just some great foreign films when you can really sit down and focus. They're great, subtitled movies.
Yeah.
I wanted to just hit real quick because we were shooting for about an hour. It looks like we're about an hour, so I'm going to just... Plus, I'm going to try and work with your vocals here, but they've gone real quiet. I don't know.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, it's fine, though. I think I can bring them up. But, yeah, we'll probably just wrap it anyway because we were going for about an hour. So, I'll take all that out, what I just said. But, so what I wanted to say was this little guy in Hollywood named James Wan, he's done quite a bit of stuff. And I had to touch on him because... of that J and that James name. So I just wanted to go over some of the things that he's just directed, not produced, because he's produced, 30, 40 items. But for the directing, he just finished Aquaman, which I know we're all going to be excited to go see that. But as far as horror goes, that's really been his mainstay. He has he created Saw. We were talking about Jigsaw earlier. He created Saw. Dead Silence is a really creepy movie he did. Insidious, the original, and the idea of it, that keeps on going. The Conjuring, same thing, that keeps on going. Furious 7 was his. He did some MacGyver TV, I haven't seen that. But then, like I said, Aquaman is coming. So the stuff he's directed, he hasn't directed like hundreds of things. He's still a young man. I think he's in his late 20s, I'm not quite sure, but somewhere around there. But he has created such heavy stuff that other people are taking off from, and so I find him quite amazing. Any words about James Wan?
Okay, I really like The Conjuring.
Yeah.
I think The Conjuring is a really good effort from him,
mm-hmm.
And I think Insidious is hysterical. It's so funny. It tries so hard to be scary, but it's just funny to me. I'm sorry.
It's like a black and white circus of hell, my friend.
A lot of people find that movie Insidious to be scary, yeah. But when you use Tiny Tim's tip to the
yes.
as like a motif of horror, I'm sorry. I did like Saw. The first Saw was really good.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was a really great film.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so you're not like 100% into James Wan, but you agree he's had an incredible impact.
Well, yeah, I agree. Like, The Conjuring definitely had a good impact right there. I definitely agree that Insidious, as much as I don't like the movie, I understand how that film could affect people who watch it.
Mm-hmm.
I am kind of curious to see what it does for Aquaman.
Yes.
So, but who knows? I can't doubt the impact he had on horror. I mean, come on now. Both movies he started, Saw and Insidious and even The Conjuring, they all have now franchises. I mean, these are movies that will go on past the first film he's done. So he is probably the king of horror franchises.
Yeah, I'd say that's true. So, and he's good at getting young talent to come in and create the sequels, and then he produces them.
Yeah, pretty much so.
Yeah, all right. Well, I think we'll go ahead and wrap it up. Do you have anything? I know I'm springing this on you, but you have anything you've been watching you want to share? Or
yes, well, I finished watching the Netflix series, The End of the Fucking World.
Oh, yes, yeah. I saw a few of those.
I really like this show a lot.
Me too.
I think it's got Jessica Bardin. And I think Alice Lothar, I think his name is here. I'm horrible at saying that. But it's about this kid who thinks he's a psychopath and wants to kill his first victim. It enters this one girl who's rebellious and doesn't like her friends or family and wants his way. And he thinks this guy is a loner, has no idea about the dangers he should be in.
They're both 17, and, by the way.
Yeah, they're both young kids. And I like the way how the film sort of like changes your perspective on them. You find out that maybe this girl is more damaged than the boy is, and you find out, but things do get turned. I don't want to give a spoiler here, but it's a very, very well done story. It starts off darkly and comic, and then it becomes very sweet and heartwarming, and then it goes back to being dark again, and then it goes back to being sweet. Yeah, really enjoyed this.
Well, I think it's okay to share because it's a little bit of the characterization of the thing. First of all, the episodes are like 20 minutes each. That was different. But second of all, everything you said is really interesting to me because I have seen it too. But I think other people might say, oh, it's just a couple kids falling in love, big deal. You know, it's a little more than that. The young man seems to have a penchant for killing. And that makes it a little interesting. And at one point, it seems like he's going to kill the girl. There's a little bit of tension there, and it's definitely worth watching. And it looks like a young adult type show, but it appealed to me. I'm certainly not a young adult. That's a good movie to bring up. Go ahead.
No. It's a show that almost feels like it could be a movie.
Yeah.
But it's very well done.
So. Yeah, it is. Very well done. I was really surprised. Okay, so this film, the reason I say surprise is because, you know, Netflix is hit and miss sometimes. Some of their shows...
Hold on, Damien.
Yeah, go ahead.
Damien.
Are you back?
Sorry, the dog is scratching on the door. I'm sorry.
Oh, no worries. So I'll just do my what I've been watching. This is a guilty pleasure, and I've already shared it with a couple people who just kind of rolled their eyes at me. It's a movie called Curve, and I loved it. I thought it was great. It's Ian Softley, Julianne Hough, Teddy Sears, and Penelope Mitchell, 2015 horror thriller. It's just called Curve. And it's basically a young woman. She becomes trapped in her car after a hitchhiker causes her to have an automobile accident. Have you seen this one?
I have. It's good.
I loved it. Yeah, I just thought it was so great. I mean, it's one of those things like, okay, the cops are here, now we're saved, you know, and then you're not. You know, you keep thinking, everything's going to happen. Oh, we're going to be saved now. And then you're not, you know. And it's got a great ending as well. So just watched that the other day. I found it quite cool. The neat thing about that one is I'm on an Internet Movie Database, and I log all my stuff that I see, and I give it a rating. So then they give me these recommendations. And recently, I have 3,000 that I've logged. It's too many. It started years ago, like 8 years ago. But it's actually starting to recommend movies to me, like this Curve. I wouldn't even have known about it, but it says recommended for you, Damien Riley. It gives me this Curve, and I watch. I actually liked it, so I'm kind of excited to see what comes forth from Internet Movie Database.
Well, sweet, man, I love it.
Yeah. Well,
it's been a while since I've seen the movie, but I do remember it being enjoyable. Julianne Hough did a good job with the performance right there, and it's not a perfect movie, but it's a fun afternoon watch.
There you go. Almost like a TV movie, but really good, really enjoyable movie. All right. Well, listen, Vern, we had a little microphone situation, but I think I'll be able to fix it and bring you up in the mix.
Okay.
Shouldn't be a problem, but it sure was great having you on.
Thank you, sir.
A to Z ABCs of Horrors, And we got through Jay. Yeah, if you Woo-hoo. Were here, I'd give you a high five. Woohoo! so I appreciate it. Now, I'm going to go ahead and put in what you've pre-recorded at the beginning a little bit about, you know, what your site is, because I didn't give you a chance to do that. But as we're closing out, you want to just tell people what you're working on?
Yeah, let's see here now. I'm working on, like, quick reviews of iTanya and a movie called The House of Salem that should be on the site. We're still going to be recording episodes for Clue, and we're still trying to pick our feature for Guillermo del Toro. I've got 5 features that listeners can choose from. Just go to the site, thatmomentin.com, and you can see all the 5 features there. But yeah, that's basically what I'm working on.
And I found out, I do a lot of my listening on iTunes, so I found out that you're locatable on thatmomentin.com,
yep.
And then from there, yours just comes up.
Yep.
So, all right. Well, listen, thanks so much for being here, my friend.
Hey, thank you, David.
Look forward to the next one.
Sounds good, buddy.
All right. And for all of you out there, pull that hook out of your door, because the next letter is going to be K.
K for kindness.
In a horror movie, I don't think.
Kindness in horror, yeah.